What a joy it is to be at Cross Culture Church at the Tuesday Noon Bible Study. And we are right in the thick of what's going on here in the book of Acts. And it's not just the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of us. It's the Acts of Christians. We are the disciples now. The baton has been passed to us. And as we read this word, the same word that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that it'll change not, that it's for our equipping and for our seasoning so that we can be faithful disciples and understand all of the things that go into being a disciple, a minister, a worker in God's kingdom. So we finished chapter 5 and we're just barreling ahead into chapter 6. And what a joy it has been seeing the power of God moving. In chapter 5, the excitement was that there were healings at the hands of the disciples and the apostles. And as we know, the religious people were upset that the disciples were going against the grain, and they arrested them, and God turned them loose, and they rearrested them again. And one of the faithful sayings in chapter 5 is, we're going to obey God rather than obey man. So if you didn't get anything out of chapter 5, the key verse in that is, we're going to obey God rather than man. So whatever you have to go through in your life in persecution of the gospel's sake, obey God and don't worry about man. Another part of that is, if you're doing good for God, there will be persecution. And so I want you to understand, when you get on fire for God, don't think that all of a sudden you're going to have a flowery bed of ease and everything is just going to roll along just hunky dory and everybody's going to love you for being excited about the things of God. It's not going to happen. If they got mad about our Lord and Savior, they're going to get mad about you. So you might as well get ready and not be what? Thin skinned. Don't wear your feelings on your shoulders, and be aware that Jesus said in this life you're going to have some what? Tribulations, trials, and our tests. But he said, be of a good cheer. All right? Because he has overcome the world. So let's get cracking. We're going to move right on into chapter 6, verse 1. And it says, and in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, as we continue on, there are some foundational principles I always want to talk about in the first part of going in any chapter, in any book we study. Number one, you need to look at what's going on with the people that are involved in this particular chapter. You want to also understand, how can you apply that to what may go on in your life? What can you draw from it so that it can be a personal experience? This Word of God is not just a history book, but it's a book that has insight on present day situations. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. So I want us to be aware when we're looking at this, how does this play into our everyday life? Is it just a biblical study, or is it a life study? And I want us to look at it as being a life study. So here you are when you have the disciples here. What does it say? They were what? Multiplied. All right. In verse 5, we saw that the church has started to grow. And anytime that there's growth, you're going to have this type of situation here. That when it grew to such a size, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. And it looks like one person, one group, was getting a little preferential treatment or being neglected by another group. Now, if we go back to chapter five, they had sold what they had, and they were distributing everything. So everybody would be pretty much on one level. That, in other words, there was nobody lacking. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And we've already dealt with that pretty good. So here we got a different situation. Now we got even more people, and we got one group saying somebody's being neglected. All right. So let's move into verse 2. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, there's some rich meat in here in these next 3 and 4 verses, and I want us to fasten our spiritual seatbelts, and let's draw out some principles. All right? You got the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and talk to them. All right, so what has happened here? The murmuring reached the pastor. All right, and the pastor said, we're going to have to bring all of our leaders together and find out how can we solve this problem. Right?
Right.
And he says, what's not going to happen is that we can't stop preaching and teaching, but we're going to have to come up with a situation to solve this problem. All right? Let's move on to 3. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business.
Elders and deacons.
All right, what else? Who is best qualified to pick out the 7?
The original disciples.
Those that were serving God.
Those that were already in the mix. All right. The congregation, the group that was out there working, know those that among themselves that were working, that were honest. All right. The apostles were the group that did what? They did the preaching and the teaching and the majority of the praying. They wasn't mingling around with the people every day on a regular basis to see who was faithful and who was not. Right? I mean, they when they preached, people came, and then the evidence that they were only other evidence that they had a grip on it was when they did what was required.
Right.
Like sell what they had,
right.
or come to the assembly, right?
Right.
Or if they was, you know, as they lived their life, they saw who among them would step up. It would be just like in a church. If somebody needed to pass out the bulletins, if somebody said, okay, I'll pass out the bulletins, then everybody would say, okay, we got a volunteer, right? So then all of a sudden the volunteer would stand out. So now we got one, we can say, man, we needed a little help, and Bobby stood up and helped. So Bobby would stand out, right? And then if Bobby was a family man, and if Bobby was full of the Holy Ghost, and whenever he was needed, he always had a good word, it was always there, then they could say, well, Bobby's a pretty good guy, right?
Right.
Right? We knew of his family. We know whenever we needed something, Bobby would step up to the plate. So here among them, he's saying, look, you guys look out among yourselves. And here are the requirements that we need to have for these 7. Can we apply these same qualifications to ourselves?
Yes.
I mean, if we being disciples and followers, we should be possessing this. And you should, because number one, if we are all on one place and on one accord, and believe in God, we should be what? Full of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or woman be in Christ, they'll become a new creation. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things become new. So now, here we are. There should be some changes and some evidence that you got a good report. You've changed from being whatever situation you were. God's working with you. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You got wisdom. You know what to do and what not to do. And that you could be trusted. Everybody said trusted. So here you are. The people at the top are saying, look out among yourselves and see who can be trusted. Who got the evidence of having the Holy Spirit in their life. Right?
Right.
And who got wisdom. Now there's one more part of this. when you're talking about putting somebody over this business, not only are they going to have to feed the folk, feed the widows and being having to distribute food, they're going to have to handle money too, right?
Right. Yeah.
So now you're going to have somebody, well, you're talking about trustworthy, that if you give them the money to get the food, they're going to go get the food and not going to take the money.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You got to have somebody that's of an honest report that said, I'm going to give to my folk and no more,
right,
and somebody else going to be lacking.
That brings me to my statement I was about to make a few minutes ago. You made me think of it again. This item dealing with good reputation also deals with a person of good integrity.
Right.
Also a person with high character, mm-hmm, as well. So all of that plays into, to me, of this person with good reputation. You cannot have people, as you said, count money. Who's going to bring a dollar and take away 10?
Right. Yeah.
You can't do that. You want somebody with good integrity that's going to treat the church right and not take from the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, we saw what happened to Ananias.
And Sapphira, right. So we've already had a situation of, I sold it for so much, but I'm going to keep some to myself. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, also, another reason that they're saying we want somebody that's of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, you also see that the reason that this came about is over jealousy. So you got to have somebody that's going to be fair. Right?
Yeah.
So you got the Grecians saying, hey, these Hebrew women getting left out of this deal. So when he said look out among you, that means you got to go across all lines. Because there was a lot of different groups that was in that had come into the church. You remember? They all got started because there was a whole lot of people from different areas that come together. The Holy Ghost came, fell. They got the tongues brought all the different tribes and everybody together. Everybody heard the word. So now they all on one accord. So you got to have somebody that's fair, impartial, full of the Holy Ghost, have wisdom, trustworthy, and integrity. And that's us. Is that us?
That's us.
That's us.
But also it brings out to me, I see something else in here during the administration stage of the church is that growing pains. We always talk about multiplying the church, but we should always be multiplying the top. Because even if you get those in and that you're not ready to receive them at the top, you'll lose them because they're still babes in Christ. So what you'll have is the bickering, the jealousy, you're going to have that. So you need as many people as the top as on the bottom to minister.
I want to clarify too now, not necessarily you need to have that many on the top. You need to have a lot of worker bees. You can't have, right, they can't have a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
That's what
I meant. And so I'm just saying what you want to do is have enough people to be able to bring the groceries in. You got to have enough people, right, to distribute. You got to have enough workers to handle the crowd. And so what better way to get the workers to handle the crowd than the people look out among themselves and to see who's faithful, to see who has proved themselves. And then we're going to move on to show what happens after that. Because something happens after you find out who got these kind of qualities, something else has got to happen. And that's what we're going to see next. It says in verse 4, it says, but we will give ourselves continually to what?
Prayer.
And to what?
Ministry of the word.
So now in verse 4 here, it says, when you go out here and look at these people, this is what's going to happen. You got people that's going to be able to do the work part, because the people at the top need to do two crucial things.
Yes.
Pray and preach.
Yes.
They can't be waiting tables and studying and meditating and preaching at the same time. And that's what they're saying. They're saying to them, it's not that we don't want to do that. It's that we got a job to do. And so that's why we're not going to take time to go out here and try to go through this to find them. You all already know. We got to stay prayed up and stay before God. And so I want you all to look at yourselves. When you're looking at this Bible study, where do you fit in to this? You know, if God has given you a talent, ability, skill, and or gift, you need to be honing that. If it's to be a worker, be the best worker. If it's to be a child care worker in the children ministry, because you love kids and they love you and you're blessed, be the best that you can be. Be prayed up and ask God to help you to have a word for little kids and all of that. Everybody get in where they fit in. And when you get in and you fit in, what are you supposed to possess? An honest report. Be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Right? And be a person of prayer. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So, again, we're doing this study, but I want you to find yourself in there. How is this chapter speaking to you? Number one, do you see where you fit in there? Because I just happen to be the teacher today, so I'm the one under the prayer and the preaching part. But everybody else had to figure out where they at. You know, am I in the usher? Am I a greeter? Am I a children's worker? Am I an altar worker? Right? Mm-hmm. Am I in prayer and know how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, so when somebody comes up and need ministry, the Lord can use me to minister to them? Right?
Right.
Have I sought the Lord about what he want me to do? Is it my testimony? Is it that what I've been through can help somebody else? And as soon as I see somebody in a similar situation, the Lord can use me to minister. Right? So this is where when you look at these scriptures and you look at these passages, always see where you fit in there, because God is calling you to understand what he wants you to do. See, God didn't call us just to miss hell. God called us to be workers. When we answer the call of God to be a disciple, it's so that we can be equipped to do the work of the ministry. Mm-hmm. I love it. God said, look, I can make a rock cry out. But I want you all to understand that I've given you something specific. Amen. That I want you to do. I've equipped you to do it. So get in where you fit in, have this honest report, have the wisdom, and let God be demonstrated, his power be demonstrated through your life. So let's go on. Five, and the saying, what did it do?
It pleased
the whole multitude, not some of them, it pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of what?
Faith
and what?
Holy Spirit.
And Philip. And Prochorus, good. And Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. All right. So now here they are. They called them out. First one was Stephen. Boy. When you hear a term like a man of full of faith and the Holy Ghost, what do y'all surmise that meant?
About to cause problems for the enemy.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. not only did he have faith,
yes,
which means he believed past himself, mm-hmm, but he had the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
So when you believe past yourself and you got the Holy Ghost, you a threat.
Mm-hmm.
You a threat. Now, you notice that they didn't say that about any of the other guys. Isn't that something? Now, they chose seven among them, and Stephen was the only one that got the full of faith. So how do you get that kind of title?
Man of prayer.
Man of prayer. Mm-hmm. What else?
You witness your life.
What you have is demonstrated. You have moved out past where everybody else is and stood out and believed God, and it worked. Mm-hmm. So obviously Stephen been doing something around the camp for everybody to say, now he full of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's done above what everybody else is doing, and it's working for him. Mm-hmm. Right?
And it was noticeable.
He had the light on high beam. Hey, how the young folks said he was going 100. But was he going 100? And everybody, and they even called it out. We said, now we got Stephen, he going 100, and he got the Holy Ghost. You got a good one there. And then they named all of the rest of them. All right, so now let's move on. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, what'd they do?
Lay
laid their hands upon
them. They laid hands on them. They laid hands on them. Now, they called out the seven. Everybody was happy with the seven. They sent the seven up to talk to the leaders. The leaders prayed over them and consecrated them. They said, boy, let me tell you, it's getting ready to be a tough work. Can I speak to y'all today? It's getting ready to be a tough work. I want to talk to everybody in this room, everybody on the sound of my voice. It's getting ready to be a tough work. You're not listening to this Bible study by accident. You're not here by accident. God is telling you to get ready. You're getting ready to get to do a work. That's why you're reading this. That's why you're here. Lay the hands on them. Verse 7, and the word of God did what?
Increased.
When God is in the midst and everything is in order, you're going to have increase.
Amen.
I got some scriptures for you. Mm-hmm. It says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. So here we go. In the fullness of time, we got seven men that have been chosen. They got prayed over. The people were happy with the decision. And what happened? Increase. And the number of disciples did what?
Multiply.
Was it a little multiplication?
No.
It says greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. When we are lined up with the word, God moving forward, there will be increase. Now, if y'all don't mind me meddling in your business just a little bit, I want us to just take a look at our lives and see where we are. Let's take a little self-examination and say, are we talking enough about God to others? And if you're not, why not? Is your witness as strong as it has been? And if not, why not? Is there multiplication in your life? Is because of who you are, other people are being blessed? If not, why not? Because we see right here that if you have an honest report full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and you get prayed over and you get sent out, what's the evidence?
It's going to multiply.
Fruit. I love that. Fruit. If you got a tree that's planted and it's fertilized, right? It's getting rain. In due season, it's supposed to do what?
Bear
some fruit. So if you're looking back over your life and you say, I got good news. It's your season. Don't say, well, I didn't do nothing last year, last week, last month. Now, faith is. Today is the day of salvation. I don't go back a whole lot. I'm trying to look forward. Well, Paul said, it don't matter about what's behind me. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. We in here digging in this word so that we can increase.
Right.
All right. So this is what I want us to do. I see when I saw increase in here, that's the first thing I thought about. Increase. I want to increase. I want to do more than I ever did. And I'm equipped to do so. Are you not? I'm not just speaking for me. Are you not equipped to do so?
We are equipped.
Now, sometimes God has to do a little pruning. You know, sometimes God had to get dead leaves off and stuff on us, man, that's keeping us from getting to where we need to be. But the good part about it is we got everything we need to bear it. We just sometimes have to get stuff knocked off. We can do it. We have been called out of darkness into what?
It's marvelous life.
And we have been on one accord in one place, and so we got the Holy Ghost, right?
Right.
And so what need to happen now is increase. Well, y'all, don't get quiet on me now because I'm preaching. All right, let me move on. I told y'all, I'm just going to do that for a minute. I ain't going to do that no more. All right. And many other priests were obedient to the faith. Uh-oh. Verse 8. And Stephen.
Full of grace and power.
It says full of faith and power.
That's in my thing.
Uh-huh. Faith and power. Did great wonders and miracles among the people. The same one that they called out of the seven, the demonstration is coming. All right? These signs shall follow them that believe. Right?
Right.
They shall lay hands on the sick. There's a lot of stuff good going to happen when they believe. So did Stephen believe?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, he said he was full of it.
He's the man of faith.
Man of faith. 9. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians and of them of Cilicia and Asia disputing with Stephen. Uh-oh. Y'all looking at me. Y'all know what this is what's going to happen.
Right.
This is what's going to happen. Now, you know what the good part about it is? They picked a good one to go against. Right?
Right.
Now, if you back up to chapter 5, mm-hmm. 4.
Right.
Every time God had an anointing on somebody and they went before the council, the council lost. Did they not?
Yes.
So don't worry about people confronting you about what you believe and why you out here doing this and why don't you go to your area and why you over here and who your pastor and who told you to say this and that. It's going to happen. If the power of God is moving in your life, you will be confronted.
Mm.
Was Stephen scared?
No.
No.
He was out.
No. Isn't that what the young folks say? I ain't scared. And Stephen was the right one for them to tackle. Now, when y'all looked at this, did y'all look at it from the reverse? Did y'all look at it from the backward to the front? You got to look at it front and back. Why didn't they go and deal with the apostles and just deal with him? They could have picked any of the other disciples. They were doing miracles too, weren't they? Didn't we just read that the other apostles were doing miracles? But they picked Stephen.
They could see him. They could see his walk. It was something different about him. He was a man full of grace and power. You know, they could see it.
There are several ways to look at it. I want y'all to think about it. That's why I brought it up to you. All right.
You know, based upon your question, in retrospect, I would think about chapter 5, all what happened in chapter 5 with the apostles there, and they were let go, eventually let go, and even with Stephen, full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Now, in Bobbist theology, Stephen was already a marked man because they had observed him. This guy is full of it already. So now he was chosen because what they had witnessed previously. So he's not afraid, period. There's no fear in him whatsoever. So he's okay.
All right. Everybody else?
I looked at it as though he was newly chosen.
Uh-huh.
And so they are trying to stop this increase. That's what they've been trying to do all along.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw they couldn't do it with the originals.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got some new ones on the block.
With some power.
With some power. So let's see how we can stop it with them.
Right.
The increase.
Yeah. So here you go. We got a rookie out here, mm-hmm. that demonstrating he got some skills. So let's go get him.
Before you start another crowd.
Hey, I don't know if I want that giant or whatever. I see one new popped up on the spot. Maybe we can get him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And they were what? not able to resist the wisdom
and the spirit by which he spoke.
Now look, they didn't have no respect for him at all. That's why they went and grabbed him. But what they could not resist was the wisdom and the spirit that he possessed. Mm-hmm. So see, just like Paul told Timothy, don't let nobody disrespect you because of your youth.
Right.
You still preach in the power and in the anointing that God has given you. Mm-hmm. See, he went up, and instead of him dealing with anything from which he stood, his words were indefensible. They knew he had the power because they couldn't resist what he said. They grabbed him, but what he said knocked them back. They couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. So I got to go back here. That word suborned, y'all know what that means?
No.
Okay, that word suborned means they pulled him to the side and they bribed him. They told them
that, secretly.
Yeah, they put.
Now say they secretly induced men.
Yes, so they went back and said, "Look, we're gonna give you some money, and we're gonna need for you to come up and be a false witness."
In other words, lie.
In other words, lie. And, hey, the word is called traitor.
Okay.
Right. We gonna send you in there. We gonna send you in there to mess it up. Yeah. Now when he opened up and said this, you said no. Nah, I heard him say this.
I did.
False testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So look, they couldn't get him by what he said because they couldn't resist the word. The power was too strong in what he said.
Right.
God's word is not returned void. Right? He spoke that thing out there, it arrested them. They said, okay, we can't get him that way. We're going to have to send a spy in there and lie on him. We can get him, but we can't get him straight on. We got to get him from the back. And what happened? And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. He out there doing the work, man. Folks getting saved, folk getting healed. Stephen wide open. While Stephen wide open, they back in the back talking about he blasphemous, man. Y'all know what he been saying? He been talking against Moses and against God. Now, if you had any good sense and he preaching about God and healing people with the power of God, you should have been scratching your head and said, I don't know about that. But you see who they went to, right?
Yeah.
They started with the people on the fringes. Then they went to the elders, and then they went to the scribes. And one thing they were very sensitive about was talking against Moses and talking against God, and they lied. They lied on them.
But you know, I also noticed they didn't say Jesus. They didn't say he talked against Jesus.
No.
Jesus, though.
Okay, go ahead.
I would say the council, they didn't care enough about Jesus at the time to do anything. If somebody say, well, he was speaking against Jesus, well, to them, Jesus was
the opposition.
Yeah. So when he said God, then that put it like, you know, our God. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jesus didn't mean nothing to them, mm-hmm. to the scribes, to the Sadducees, the Pharisees and all them, so Jesus wouldn't have been a big enough charge to get him hung or whatever they wanted him, you know, to punishment, you know.
Right.
So that's why I would say that once they said God, it was like, okay, it's on now.
Mm-hmm.
But they ain't care enough about Jesus because they hated Jesus anyway. The council, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they didn't like Jesus anyway.
All right. And we know why they didn't like him. So I want all this out here. So
doing the same thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now they would not have gotten him if he had said Jesus, although that's what he was saying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They
right.
didn't say that.
Right. Right.
That's why they told him to lie. Right. He was telling the truth. He was saying Jesus said that this all of this law and everything is going to be changed.
Right.
because that's what Jesus said.
Right.
So they said, well, we can't get them for that. But we can get them by lying and say he talked about Moses and talked against God. All right. So here we go. Took him to the council. 13. And they set up what? False witnesses, which said, this man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. What was this holy place?
The temple of Jesus.
The temple.
What they told a half-truth, as you pointed out a few minutes ago, was a lie. That's all they said. Mm-hmm. They didn't tell the whole truth. Mm-hmm. So they was talking about the temple itself, and what Steve was talking about was Jesus' body, dead, buried, and resurrected. That's
right.
What he was talking about. Yeah. But they didn't refer to that. He didn't let him get that out.
Right.
And then see, when he was blaspheming Moses, it wasn't the whole truth there again. Because when you're talking about the law, which doesn't apply, we got to put grace in there as well. And they didn't allow him to do that.
Right. Now, I want y'all to, Bobby's hitting it on the head. Let's back this thing up. Now, Jesus said, I came to what? Fulfill the law. See, Moses gave y'all the law because y'all needed one. Y'all needed to find out through the law that you are sinners. You got a problem. Because they were thinking, all we got to do is make a sacrifice and we good. But that was just a temporary fix. Right?
Right.
That was just a temporary fix. It wasn't a permanent fix.
Right.
So when Jesus came, he said, look, not only am I coming to fulfill the law, he said, but I'm going to give y'all a way to go directly to the Father. All this stuff y'all doing in the temple, that's all going to be torn down. And then I'm going to build it back up. What? Another foundation, another principle, another kingdom that ain't set up on what you wear, your position, and all of that. It's going to be God's kingdom. Right?
Question.
So why did people say that when Jesus came, we did away with Moses' law because that was in the Old Testament. So we don't have to go by what Moses said because Jesus came to change all of that.
Okay. I'm going to give it to you in one quick verse. He says, there is a new law. Jesus said it. I fulfilled all of that. I fulfilled all of them 10, and I'm going to give you 2. I'm going to condense them all down to 2. Love God with your whole soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. You don't need 10 if you do 2. And you look at them 10 and look at his 2, and it's a wrap. You won't steal, you won't cheat, you won't do nothing. Them too. Love God with your whole. You won't have idols. You won't worship another God. He did it all. He said, look, all this that y'all been doing was temporary. Now I'm going to give you the permanent. Once and for all. It's a wrap. You won't have to go out and get no more turtle doves. You ain't got to do no more sacrifice. You don't have to give no more blood. You don't have to go in here and keep washing your hands thinking that that's going to do it because it's not about the external. It's about the internal. So that's why. That's why he came to fulfill it and to do it. And he did. And he did.
I was going to say, too, that like he said, the old was the flesh. The new is the spirit. So they had a problem with the old. The reason they didn't want to get. And we see this in Hebrews all the way down our studies. This man's rebellious against, want to hang with the old Moses law. And the reason being is we're not seeing underneath it. There was a lot of corruption. There was a lot of greed. There was a lot of caste system. See, if you were a certain title and a certain lineage in the Jewish realm, then you were up here. There were certain people down here. But when Jesus came, and he's saying that in the spirit that you are all one in him, they don't want to hear that. No, you're not all one. We up here. You still down there. So we can relate that in today's life that for the people that are operating even in churches or wherever you go, people operating in the spirit versus the people operating in the flesh. even in our powerful political system or wherever, you can see where the flesh versus the spirit is still here today. We're still fighting. And if you read like our Bible study from Romans to Hebrews, all of those, we're still dealing with man's rebellion, you know, about I'm God, you not, get a life, and the life's in Christ.
And I want to put a cherry on top of that, because we right where we need to be. The flesh is always the problem. It want to be pacified. It want attention. Mm-hmm. It want affection. But God says you gonna have to die to your flesh.
Right.
We don't like that part of the scripture. We don't like the part of the scripture where we gonna have to tell ourselves no.
Daily. Right.
Daily mm-hmm. is with. Ooh, I got one here fired up. He said, daily we got to die to self.
I know that's right.
Right? Because in our minds, we still, even though we saved, our flesh ain't saved. Do we
that's
not understand
right.
that? Our flesh is not saved.
That's right.
So we got to keep putting it under and bringing thoughts into subjection. Right?
Right.
That's why your prayer life is essential. Your prayer life is essential. So here you got some guys here that in the flesh, they looking at our people are leaving us.
Right.
Our people are not falling behind what we say. They going with this new group. We're going to have to stop them. They not understanding that we still got to do this sacrificial stuff, but the sacrifice has already been made. We can't crucify them over again. All right? So you see, what I do want y'all to see that flesh is the main problem here. Flesh, pride, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one thing, all right? So blasphemy words about the temple and the law. The temple, we just talked about it. The law, we just talked about it. 14, for we have heard him say, now this is what he said, that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place. What? The temple,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. And he did both. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And that's what we stand on today. That is not of works, but it is by what? Grace are we saved through right. what? Faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't boast that I can trace my family line all the way back to Moses. I keep the law. Number one, you can't keep it. There's no way for you to keep it. It wasn't designed for you to keep it. It was just a mirror to show you that you got problems.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how good you think you are. He said, and I love it. Y'all ever read that?
Yeah,
I know we passed it, but you read that. It said, even if you have a thought about somebody uh-huh. else's stuff, you done messed up.
No,
you can't say, I don't want it. But if you're looking at it too much, you do want it. Right?
Exactly.
You know, I ain't been over there to steal it, but why you keep looking over there every week?
He said, man's eyes.
We all missed the mark.
We all done missed the mark.
Man, he said, man's eyes are as greedy as the grave.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
No.
They got a new car.
No.
Oh, got a, what is it? Yeah, man. I'm mine gonna be bigger than that.
Yeah. Put that seed.
So I mean, so here we are. Now we're laughing and talking about it.
But it's real.
But it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at these chapters and you look at these verses, I want you to look way down deep and put yourself in that situation and then see where you shake out. Because a lot of people said that was them. No.
I'm telling you.
And it may not be you this time. But keep on looking in there. You in there.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be you in this particular verse. But you may be in five.
Mm-hmm.
You might be back in three.
Yeah.
I was back there in two. You know, I was on one accord in one place. I was fired up and I got the Holy Ghost. So I found myself in there. You know, I've been out on the street and I done found myself with people confronting me about who told you to come out here. This is an area that ain't no sign say y'all can preach. And I said, well, ain't no sign say I can't. You know, this is the United States of America. I can stand on any corner anytime I want to. Ain't no sign say I can't.
Yeah.
You know, so I can find myself a lot of times in here, but we have to find ourselves in these scriptures because God got us in here. And the more we study and get deeper in there, we find out that God has empowered us to get past where we at and to move on into the things of God, because God wants us to move ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Bobby.
You know, one of the things that I want to be aware of is the fact that this is what is labeled the early church.
Right.
The early church. And they had, as we would say in the military, buku problems. The 21st century church, we have buku problems still.
Yeah. Yep.
But what stuck out at me earlier, and when I was reading this, thank you for telling me where to read, what it's coming from. But when I was reading this, what stuck out is the fact that the pastor, say the leader of the fellowship, not just this fellowship here, the pastor or the leader of the church, he or she should have a place to study. Not necessarily say an office.
Yeah.
Right.
He or she is not going to find any solace in there to study. Whether it be home or wherever, that pastor should be set aside somewhere to study. Then you brought out so clearly about the apostles, the elders, and I think you said the deacons. We have responsibility to teach as well, but the pastor, as you pointed, that's one, that's who's getting this stuff here. He can't just drop everything, the word of God, and wait the tables. Can't do that. Right. That responsibility lies with the deacons, as you brought out.
Right.
That's, and they also should be full of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
That's right. Good reputation.
Good,
right.
Good reputation, yeah. Right. Wisdom, character. Right. They also should have those qualities of what's required to maintain the church. They should have them as well.
So now, again, here we are with the early church. Should not we find our place and keep our church as similar to the early church as possible? Because that's where it grew. That's how it multiplied. These are the principles that have been set forth. Now, you can look and say, man, we're a little bit off. Well, it's your job to pray, seek God's face, get in where you fit in, and let God operate to get it back where it should, if it's not. So here we are. I love this. We're getting the foundational principles of how we are supposed to act as disciples, as disciplined men and women of God. We must be of prayer, of faith, of a good reputation, right?
Right.
We should have a testimony that's helping somebody and benefiting others, right?
Right.
And that's how, do you know that's how the church multiplied? Long years ago, I heard a statement that said, sheep beget sheep. And it took me a while to understand that. But we, as being members in the church, are responsible for the multiplication process. As the word falls down to us and we take it out, we're supposed to bring in others. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not the pastor's job to go out and bring people in the church.
Right.
Their job is to do what? Stay focused.
Prayer
and preach. And be rested up and not bogged down with administration.
I think that is the more we teach our people, our sheep, our people and disciples in the church, the more we make disciples in the church. And the teaching is the issue. The teaching. If just think about 11 of us in this room, if we can get 50 more people to just learn this word, to just get it, knowledge is power. Because he said,
you will perish.
Right. We're perishing because we don't know.
And we're also perishing through tradition.
Right.
And things that were old that really didn't produce anything.
That's what I was thinking of. It came to mind how they were all on one accord. And now every time I hear that, I think about, and this is for another day because we can probably go, but denominations.
Right.
I always think of denominations when I hear about the early church being on one accord. I'm like, where did denominations come from? But like I said, that's another teaching for another day.
It is. We'll
probably go.
It is.
That's right.
It is.
I don't buy into it, man.
Right.
Right.
And I'm glad that this church, you know, pastor is non-denominational, but it's just such a hindrance, and obviously a house divided you know, can't stand, or you know. So, but like I said, that's a different subject for another day. But on one accord in one place, how you keep mentioning that?
Right.
That's not denomination.
Right.
Did you find it interesting that one guy was apostolate?
Oh yeah, and that's another story. I really would love to deal with him because there's a story with Nicholas. I really can't, but I'm just telling you I give you a tip about him. He ended up being like Judas was with the 12. Mm-hmm. Eventually.
Right.
He kind of skewed off a little bit. And went off and started doing his own thing. Another story for another time. But again, what he had demonstrated was good at the time. You know, he fell off the wagon. The key to it is for us to stay focused and we not fall off the wagon.
Okay.
let us stay Amen. True. Let us stay true Amen. To the gospel. And I'm gonna finish this last verse and we're gonna close out chapter 6. And of course, verse 7, next week, the Lord willing, is going to break out, buddy. Because, matter of fact, I'm going to take a few minutes because I got to get this first part in. I love this. I love it. Okay. All right, 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly upon him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel.
Spirit just took over.
Glowing like Moses.
Mm. One, two. What else? When Jesus came up out of the water, when he was being baptized, and there came a word from heaven that said, what? Lo, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Very similar to here. They doing all of this. And God breathed on him. And it was like, this is a confirmation that he doing good. I'm stamping him right now. He glued. His face was glowing. And what they could see, that this just wasn't no ordinary man. He possessed light and it was showing. Moses was the same way. After he had spent some time with God, he had to veil his face. They said it was so bright that they had to put a veil on it. He was blinding them. But here, they said, what? A face of an angel. How did they know what an angel looked like?
They knew it then.
how did they know
they
that?
They knew it when they saw
it. But what I'm saying to you is, it was of such right. that they knew it was heavenly. They right. knew that this was God's working because they hadn't seen nothing like that. You see, they didn't say he looked like no devil. It wasn't. No, I want you to understand what I'm saying. They wasn't scared of it. It was so beautiful that they knew it had to be a confirmation from God. Mm-hmm. Didn't nobody shake and fall out on the ground and run. Right. They were taken with it. And that's what the light of God does. Does it not draw?
Yes, it draws.
He was illuminated. That's the word. He was illuminated.
Almost remind me of the day of Pentecost, you know, when they saw the spirit upon each other.
The cloven tongues.
The fire.
Yeah.
Almost reminds me of that.
All right. Let's move on into 7. I'm going to take 5. Can I take 5 more minutes?
Yeah.
Thank y'all. Most time y'all say get on out. All right. And then the high priest. Are these things so? And he's the high priest. Now they're looking at him. Now the high priest at calling out, saying, "Are these things so that y'all said this man said? Are these things so?" And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, or what?
Listen
up. The Lord of glory appeared unto our fathers Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt." In Charan. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and go unto the land which I show you. Boy. Mm-hmm. Now y'all can take that right there and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
When God tell you to go, he already got a place for you to go to. Get those stepping. Amen?
Amen.
He said, go into a land which I will what? Show you. God got somewhere for you to go if you start walking. All right? Betty's got this classic statement. If you start, you'll find your way. Mm-hmm. If God send you out, don't worry. You'll get there. Mm-hmm. It take faith. Right? Mm-hmm. And then, now then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Sharon. And from this, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein we now dwell. And he gave him none, said none, no. None inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his feet on. Yet he promised that he would give to him for a possession and to his seed after him when as yet he had no child. 6. And God spoke on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a what?
Strange
land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. Is he giving them history?
Yes.
I love it. He getting ready to bring it home. Mm-hmm. He getting ready to bring it home. Now he's setting down a foundation. Now he's getting ready to punch them in the eye. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, saith the Lord. And after that, they shall come forth and serve me in what place?
This place.
In this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot the what? 12 patriarchs, 12 tribes. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came dearth over the land of Egypt and
Canaan
and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren. Y'all know that story, right? Yeah. And I love it. What he's doing here, and I want y'all to understand, he's setting a foundation to show them how God works. And that Christ was evident, needed to be. And they weren't going to be able to deny it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to stop right here because Paul was like one of the greatest lawyers I've ever heard, you know, speak through these pages. Whenever he laid out a case, he would go all the way back. And he would bring them all the way forward and then punch them in the eye. And they couldn't say nothing. And Paul said, I can do this because I know how y'all think. He said, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I set up under the feet of Gamaliel. He said, I know how y'all think, and it's messed up. And look what we got right here. A story going all the way back to bring them all the way down. And I'm going to try to get down. It's going all the way down. If y'all continue to read this, it goes all the way until we get to, but he did brother wrong, it thrust him away, mm-hmm. fled 40 years, Moses saw it and wondered. Now he getting all the way down, pull off my shoes, you've been in high place. This way, now he dealing with him about how he stood there before God, he had to pull off his shoes. He bring them history, right?
Right.
I love it, y'all got to understand, it. There is a history. But God is the present and the future.
Right.
And this is where they were, and this is where we are. There's a lot of people that stomped on floors, sung songs in Zion for us today. Here we are. We got to move forward. We got to do more. And I'm going to close with this. We got more to deal with today than ever before. We got internet. We got telephone. We got computers. Right?
Right.
We got emails, we got texts, we can tweet. We have no reason not to testify of God's goodness and get his word out to a lost and dying world. Yeah. You all who are full of the Holy Ghost, got a good reputation, trust God. You need to step out on faith, pray, and allow God to do something good in you. You are, I want to say this, in the administration of God.
Amen.
God didn't save you just to miss hell. God saved you to do something. Pray about it.
Amen.
Get in where you fit in and get busy in the things of God. Yes, ma'am.
Is there a time to stop? Because my problem is that's why I went up to the altar Sunday is my family, the men in my family. You know, I'm constantly talking, but is there a time that you just stop?
Yes.
You say everything that you can be
saying. Yes. Stop. It is. The farmer, when he plants seed, don't plant it 12 months out of the year. I'm just giving you a realistic situation. God ain't hard of hearing, neither are the people that you're ministering to. God will tell you when to stop. The scripture says some plant, some water, but God will get the increase.
Right.
Sometimes all God wants us to do is plant. When the time for planting is over, then you pray about it. Solomon said there are different seasons.
Right.
There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up that which is planted. It's time to cry sometimes. It's time to laugh. When you've done all that you can do, the scripture said what? Stand. After you've said everything you need to do, stand and let God do the rest. Yeah, but some of us, we still got to do something else. You at your point, then you stand and pray. Your prayer life now should be stellar. Stellar. You should be like Daniel 3 times a day. Morning, noon, and evening time. And I challenged a group last week that if you want that Daniel had, all you got to do is do what Daniel did. If you want to last administrations, if you want to last seasons, if you want to be steadfast in the things of God, adopt some of the principles that the people got that evidence. If you want to be a man after God's own heart, what you got to do?
Put in the work.
Oh, and the time, and pray, and seek his face. You know how David wrote so many Psalms? Because it was in his heart every night, looking up at them stars, and him talking to God made him think, made him write, and made him sing. Mm. And if you spend however much time you can, 3 times a day, I guarantee you your life will change. You can't tell me it won't. And I keep bringing up Smith Wigglesworth. I love Smith. Smith was a powerful man, but he took communion every day. What happened when he took communion every day? He thought about the death, burial, and resurrection of his Savior. And when he drank that cup, he said, "This is that blood that cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And now I got the power." And he went out every day a plumber and got a testimony that he raised folk from the dead. And even when he walked around, people said, "You convict me of my sin." That light so bright in you, man, it just changed me every time I'm around y'all. I'm going to have to stop because I done got excited. Father, we just thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for your word that will not return void, but it's going to accomplish that which you please and prosper whereunto it is sent. Let this word grow richly in us. And Lord, let us be full of power. Let us have grace abounding in us to do those things that you called us to do. And we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And when we leave this place, we're not from your presence. We ask that you encamp your angels round about us to protect us and keep us safe to our next destination. We'll be careful to give you alone all of the praise, honor, and glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen.